bless you all this morning. Let's all just stand and have a word of prayer. Just invite the Lord here this morning. Just bow our hearts. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together in your name this morning. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you could, Lord, just forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings this week. Lord, help our hearts just come to your altar clean, Father, ready to be, Lord, filled, Lord, with your Spirit, Father. Forgive us and just walk with us today, Lord God. Let you have preeminence in all things. We worship you and we praise you. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's turn into the Bible. We're going to start at St. John chapter 14, and then we're going to go to Genesis after that, Genesis 32. So St. John 14, and we're going to just read two verses. St. John 14, 16 and 17. And it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Amen. And then let's turn over into the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Genesis 32, we're going to read a good portion of this chapter this morning. Genesis 32, we'll start at verse 1, and it says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when the angels saw him, he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." And down, we're going to skip some verses, go down to verse 22. "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent all that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." God bless you as you take your seats this morning. Sorry, that was a lengthy reading, but this example in Jacob's life has really been dealing with me lately, just these past several days. How many times in our life does God have to wrestle with us in things, amen, to bend us from and shake us from our will in certain situations. Amen. You know, and when you go read this circumstance in Jacob's life, the win that from that wrestling match, was it signifying that he somehow overpowered the angel of the Lord? Because when you wrestle God, the only way to win is in complete submission. Amen. So God wasn't looking for him to prove his strength. He wasn't looking for Jacob to prove his physical strength. Amen. And you know, when you read at the beginning of that chapter, even earlier in his life, you know, God had encounters, or Jacob had encounters with God and with angels. Amen. The title for this morning is Encounters with God. But none of those encounters that he had was able to shake Jacob enough to rid him of that old nature, to change his name, to change the way that he walked. Until one day God led him into a position and he backed Jacob into this corner. You know, God wasn't just going to hand it over to him on a silver platter. Amen. He wanted to make sure this time that Jacob was willing to truly surrender. You know, I believe that God knows all things. Amen. We all believe that this morning. And he knew that Jacob was terrified of the future. You know, he was meeting his brother Esau, and he had just left one moment of fear. If you go read, and he had just left Laban and left, I think, in the middle of the night and took his flocks. And then Laban ended up catching up with him. And so he find one situation where he was running, and right now he's in another situation. So he had one critical juncture to another, amen? And he ran into this situation with his brother who, you know, 20-something years earlier, Jacob had deceived, and then he ran from because he was afraid that Esau was going to kill him. You know, but God always has the right timing in our life. Amen. And it was at this time in Jacob's life that God could finally appear to him and make known unto him the promise that was always ordained for his life. You know, Jacob was always ordained to life. He was always Isaac's son. He was always a son of Abraham. God always had plans for his life, but you watch in his life how that old nature kept bleeding through into his decisions and into the way that he walked, into the things that he did, and how that fear was the thing that drove him in so many things. Until he came to Peniel and came face to face with God, as the scripture says. You know, God is always trying to show you and I who we are really supposed to be. You know, he sends his word. You know, when pastor delivers a sermon, you know, he sends some of us parents that train us the word of God and show you what it means to be a believer and train you in the way that you should go. You know, and he sends bits of inspiration throughout your life. You know, if you go back and you read about Jacob, you know, just a few chapters earlier, he had come to that experience at Bethel where he saw the angels of God. He had encounters with God. He had encounters with angels. And he had that vision. And at that point, God had actually told him the truth about his lineage. And when he came to this point in this chapter, he had actually reminded him. Jacob was reminding God of that promise. But that experience at Peniel wasn't until four chapters later, a place where finally Jacob was ready for a total submission, a full submission. He wasn't willing to leave that place until God blessed him. He wasn't willing to let go of the presence of that angel until he knew without a shadow of doubt that he had received something from it. Amen? He had received something from it. So it's not until you come to a critical place in your life, you know, you could accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but have you come into a place in your life where you haven't just had an encounter with God, but you've had this kind of an encounter with God, where you can say that I've sat face to face, and now it's changed the way that I walk. It's changed my name. It's changed my nature. Amen. Even you know, he was always meant to be that patriarch, but so many of his decisions reflected that old nature. You know, and when you go read the book of Hosea, it even says that from his very birth that he was grabbing the heel of Esau. You know, it was inherent in his very nature to be that way. But once he came face to face with God, something really changed. Amen. Something changed the way that he walked. Yes, you know, and when that old nature that we're all born with is still in control of your life, it bleeds through into your actions. It bleeds through in the way that you think. It bleeds through in the way that you live. Amen. It's still in your character. You know, the prophet of God is two specific places, if you go and listen to these sermons, two specific places, but he says it several times. It says, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is saying amen to every word. Feast of Trumpets and the Church Age book were two places he makes that so clear. But with your life, amen, it's displayed in your actions, not just by letter or word. I believe, you say, I believe. Okay, well, now take the letter from the speech and make it a living reality. That's what is the identification, amen? Because he changes the way that you live from the inside out, not a manufactured thing, amen? You know, much of the world, this has just been really heavy on my heart, especially the last 2 days. Much of the world, I believe, is deceiving themselves to say that you believe in Jesus, amen? Because to truly believe in something, it's evident in the way that you live. It's evident in the actions you take. It's evident in the speech you use. It's evident in every aspect of your life. So to say that I believe something, but then the actions of your life aren't measuring up with what you believe, then you don't truly believe that thing. You say, I believe the message of the hour. Well, if your life isn't measured up to everything God says in that message, then you don't believe it. Amen? I believe a key difference is that once you have what John 14 describes as the Spirit of truth dwelling within you, it's no longer you trying to fit God into some box in your life. Amen? Into a category, like he's some material possession that you carry around with you. Like, just for an example, You take your keys with you, right? Or you take your phone with you. But then when you go somewhere and you leave that thing in the car, then it's really not with you. It's more of a possession. And I believe that sometimes is what Jesus is to a lot of people, because it's just a possession. You take him with you sometimes, but then sometimes you leave him in the car, or sometimes you leave him at home. Amen. It's important to know that it is not a material possession to have a relationship with Jesus. It is an actual fellowship that you have. He lives within you. He indwells inside of you. Amen. It is something that you take with you everywhere you go in everything you do. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, when you go somewhere, you go to work or you go to school or you're in your recreation, and, you know, he's probably maybe staying in the car, because is he comfortable where you are? Amen. It's a crucial question to ask, because there's experiences with God, and then there's a pineal experience that each one of us have to have, where we take experiences and we make them a living reality within our soul. Amen. We can't put him into an area where he's something rather than being someone. Amen. Because there's a clear distinction between the two. Much of the world, I believe, is deceiving themselves, because to them, he's something rather than someone. Amen. He becomes the very driving point of every decision you make. Not because it has to, but because you want to. Amen. It becomes the very core of your being. Amen. To see what the word says about it, and to match up with what the word says, because I am that word. Amen. We are that word. I always have some quotes I want to go through this morning, you know, just to refresh on that 14:17, that even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And with him, the Spirit of Christ living in you, and his actions are living through you. You know, nobody knows the heart except for God, right? You know, but the manifestation of your actions in your everyday nature, in your church attendance, in the way that you act, in the way that you dress, in the way that you talk, even the way that you react, makes it known which nature is ruling and reigning in your heart. And I have this in my notes later on in here, but this isn't for someone to look at your brother or your sister and say, well, they don't have, this is all for self-introspection. You look at something like this and you say, not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, do I have that right now. I'm not looking at everybody else. It's not about everybody else. It's about you individually recognizing, amen, what it is that you need to be doing. Is it the nature of Christ or is it the nature of Caleb Campbell? Amen. Which one is really ruling right now? He says in Going Beyond the Camp, 1964, paragraph 89, he says, "Now, brother, sister, do you know that each one of us, each one of you all must sacrifice? You must be God's sacrifice. You sacrifice the things of the world. You sacrifice your own pleasures of this world. You sacrifice everything. You sacrifice the things of the world. You know the reason that people won't do it?" He says, "You know, a sheep don't have one thing to offer, and that's wool." And now he's not asked to produce or to manufacture some wool for this year. He's asked to bear wool. So we're not asked, he says, to manufacture something. We're asked to bear the fruit of the Spirit that is inside of the sheep. What he is on the inside makes the wool on the outside. And when a man has got Christ on the inside, it makes him Christ-like on the outside, not some artificial put-on. And it's so important because you have to recognize that it's from the inside out, amen, that those things happen. Because if you try to manufacture and it's from the outside in, you're going to be straining. I can't remember where the quote is, but he says you're going to be straining your whole life because it's a legalist style of things. You're trying to manufacture something when you just need to get him on the inside and then naturally it comes out, amen. By Making the Valley Full of Ditches, 1956, he says, "Show me your company, and I'll tell you who you are. Let me walk into your house. Let me see what's laying open on your table. Let me see what the Bible's marked up. Let me see where it's the old stories. Let me listen to what kind of music you're playing on the radio. Let me see what kind of pictures you got in your house, and I'll tell you what you're made of." Yes, sir, that's what your soul is feeding on. Regardless of what your testimony is, and your fruits prove what you are, right? Oh, it's the truth. Your soul feeds on something, and whatever the characteristics of your soul is, that's what it'll show forth. That's the reason Jesus said, "By their fruit you shall know them." Amen. By your fruit you shall know them. And I have just been listening to the sermon right after Going Beyond the Camp. It's the Feast of Trumpets. You go listen to that sermon because there's so many things in there where he's showing that when the Son of Man comes to reveal himself, how are we going to know that it's the Son of Man revealing himself unto you? It's because you're going to be constantly in the Word, amen? You're going to be constantly in the Word to be able to recognize that when he comes, oh, I know because I'm like him, amen? You know because you're like him. Go listen to that sermon because he makes it so clear. Brother Branham had this situation in his life. He was home one day and the phone rang, and you know, he was right in the middle of this situation where there was some attorneys and they were bothering him so bad about some case that they were in, and they wouldn't leave him alone, and they were continually calling his house. And on this particular day, he was actually getting ready to go pray for this sick little child in the hospital. So he tells me to tell them that he wasn't there. And in doing that, he says, "Well, I'm going to go run around the back of the house. And when I do that, when I'm outside, tell them that I'm not here." Amen. And, you know, because that's sometimes what people do. When even when you have the Holy Ghost and you make mistakes, you can justify certain things that you do in your life. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad we have these things as examples because we're all guilty of that. Amen. And, you know, Mita kind of looked at him funny, but did what he said. And when she hung up the phone and he came inside, she told him that she didn't feel right about doing that. And, you know, but then he started justifying, you know, his actions there. And who's ever been guilty of that? Amen. But when he got to the hospital to go pray for that sick little child, the Lord began dealing with him. How can you pray for this sick little girl after you did what you did? See, he had to make things right before he could go on. You know, and he makes this reference in this sermon. I'm going to quote a few things here, but he makes this reference to 1 John 3:21. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence in God. And when the prophet was telling that story, he quoted that scripture. He said, that's what's the matter today with the Christian church. They can't get anything done, is because our hearts are condemning us for unconfessed sin. It's not easy for him, he's saying about this story, it's not easy for me to tell this. It's not easy for us to make those things right. But it's the truth, and that's the way to be truthful, he says. You know, it's such a simple thing, but it's so powerful here. God was trying to get Jacob to recognize his position, amen? And God, in this final, recognize your position, amen? That there's nothing that can stand between you and your prayers, but you have to come to a place where you're in complete submission, where when you have a situation like this, Brother Matt, I preached that condemnation versus conviction. As Christians, there's no condemnation, but there is conviction, amen? And so when you have a conviction placed in your heart, you need to make that thing right, you know, because we're going to read this, because Brother Branham, when he did that and he had to go make that thing right, it wasn't just, oh, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for this. That there's no sincerity in that. He went to Mita. He went down to the attorney's office. He knocked on the door. Then he went, and the most important part of this is he went into his cave and he prayed for 8 hours about a situation where he was just justifying something that most of us maybe wouldn't even think twice about. But it's important that we recognize that the Spirit of truth that lives inside of you knows that these things are so important, because if our hearts condemn us not, then we can have confidence in God and nothing can stand in between our prayers. Amen. There's two classifications here that I'm trying to identify in this teaching. And like I said earlier, not for us to look at everybody else or anybody else really and try to identify, but for each of us to do some self-reflection and really look at where you're at. Because one, there's the two classifications. There's ones that have already had a changed nature, amen, yet they make mistakes, amen? Like what Brother Branham did. I believe he was born again of the Spirit of God, and he made that mistake, but God corrected him, amen? But then two, the ones that have had experiences with God, like Jacob did at Bethel, but haven't come to their pineal experience yet and truly had their nature changed. Amen. They haven't come face to face with God and wrestled until they've fully submitted to his word. Amen. And allowed him to change their name. Amen. And change the way that they walk. Amen. Those things, they're for our example. Amen. He changed the way he walked. That's a spiritual type of you changing the way that you walk. It's you're going in one direction. God gets a hold of your life. You're going in the other direction from now on. Amen. Everything you do is now revolved around what God is doing for you. Amen. And that's so important, because it's important to know what place that you're in. Amen. It's important, because it's the difference having unexperienced with God and having that experience with God where your nature's completely changed is so important. It's the difference, saints, between making a rapture and not. You know, because a lot of people, I believe, are going to be surprised. The Bible says, surprised on that day when the dead saints rise, the Lord takes his family home to the marriage supper, and it's time to go into a resurrection when they didn't make it. And they'll find themselves in a tribulation period because they've never met God face to face and fully submitted. They've had experiences of God. They've had that experience. But remember, in that experience, he came to that angel, and that angel tried to leave. But Jacob said, no, I'm not letting you leave until I know for sure that I've been blessed. Amen. You've got to come to a place in your life where you know that I've had that nature change. Amen. Wow. Many people have experiences with God. Amen. All the time, all throughout their life. But until they come to a place where they let the word have dominion in their life. See, Jacob was tired of his old nature taking control. So what did he do? He stayed all night because he was ready. He would have stayed all week. He would have stayed all month because he was ready for God to change his very nature. And I believe the Bible is particular about how it words things. When he came, in Genesis 32:26, he says, He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And many people, I was fellowshipping with my dad about this, many people get this far in their walk with God, that they get close to that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they may walk the line for a time, but then they allow the enemy to come in and settle their mind down to think that this is as far as you need to go. But there was further that Jacob needed to go there. Amen. I know they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but at that time. But this is an example. We use the Bible as examples for the New Testament. Amen. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." It wasn't until the two verses later that he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Amen. Two verses later, that is the difference. You know, Brother Branham makes this statement. My dad sent me this quote a few months ago, and I was trying to find it last night. I finally found it. St. Augustine had an opportunity once, so says the history, to become a great man and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He sit in the back of the yard there in Lyons, France, at that great school yard, and the Holy Ghost came to him, but he refused to accept it. Then what did he become? A twofold more child of hell than he was to begin with. He was right down to Hippo, Africa, where he sat down, and it was. I can take you to the history. He was the one who sanctioned the word to do it, that it was all right to put to death any heretic who would disagree with the dogmas of the Roman Church. St. Augustine of Hippo. Is there a Bible, Brother Branham? This is Brother Branham saying this in Christianity versus Idolatry. Is there a Bible scholar here? Raise up your hand. You see, there they are. St. Augustine of Hippo. He was the one who passed the verdict that said it was all right to kill heretics who disagreed with the Roman Church, sanctioning them pagan doctrine of getting away from the Bible and establishing a sun god worship. He came to a place where he had an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet said, and he turned it away. And you know what Brother Branham did? We just talked about this. He didn't just say that he was sorry. It was at the very core of his being that he needed to make this thing right. Amen. And he went, and I just want to go through this quote here just a few more minutes. Thinking on Our Way, 1959, and he says, "And I prayed all day long. I said, Lord God, I did wrong and I caused my wife to do wrong. Don't hold it against her, Lord. Please forgive us. I want to stay clean before you, Lord. That's what I'm called to pray for, the sick children, and there'll be no condemnation in my heart. I want to be right, and that condemns me. I couldn't pray for that little baby. Will you forgive me?" And I prayed and wept in there from about 7 o'clock one morning till about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. There's a big rock layer that lays at the mouth of the case, and it faces the east way back in the jungles and woods. And I came out and got on this rock, raised up my hands, and just praised the Lord. And I was standing there thinking on my ways. Amen. We ought to stand there and think on our ways sometimes. Said, "Lord, why did I ever do such a thing? Why could a man get so bothered? But I'm so glad that you love me, that you let me think of it, that you revealed it to me, that you told me I was wrong. That means you want me to do right, that you loved me. You ought to thank God when he condemns you for your sins and the things as you're thinking on your ways." Amen. We just have a minute here, so I'm going to skip the rest of that quote, but he said, you know, when you have that nature change, you can still make mistakes. Amen. But something is different from that time in your heart, because that situation, you know, to the average Joe, just was a situation that happened and they justified it. But to a son of God, it meant everything. Amen. It's so important to examine our lives and see which nature is truly controlling you. Not the Sunday morning view that people see. It's the Monday afternoons, the Tuesday nights, the Friday nights, the friends you choose, the job you choose, the things you wear. Yes, I know that those are outward manifestations, but Brother Branham said water baptism is also an outward manifestation of an inward work. Amen. So the outward manifestation is also important because it reveals what's on the inside. Amen. And it has to be something so personal that takes place with you. You know, and, you know, Jacob had brought his family with him. Scripture says this specifically, but he was left alone when he wrestled with that angel. Sometimes it's time to just get alone with God, to think on your ways and have a pineal experience, to encounter face. That means encountering God face to face. You know, and it was always thought in the Old Testament, if you ever came face to face with God, you would die. But God didn't want that. He couldn't be in your presence without that blood atonement. That's why the Holy Ghost came. So there was always a plan to reconcile you back to fellowship with him, to have his spirit indwelling inside of you. Amen. And when you have that face-to-face encounter, don't leave that place until you walk different, until you talk different, until you know that your name has been changed. You know, what Jacob was doing when he wrestled wasn't showing his strength. I know I'm a little over time, just another minute. He was showing his weakness through submission. Amen. Some people think that Christian experience is just pure grit. Hold on to something until you can't hold on anymore. But it's the opposite of that. Amen. He's wanting you to let go of that grit. And sometimes exactly opposite of what you're doing, you have